Howdy, folks. It's Stefan here. Just wanted to give you guys a bright, cheery salutation before we got started with the podcast. One thing I wanted to say, if you guys haven't noticed by the cover art, is we have a new name. Why? You guys are asking. Or maybe you're not, because you realize that we had a really dumb fucking name. Well, it turns out that nobody can read, write, pronounce, or remember hyperbole. So we're going to go real generic, dialing it back, and going with a comedy advice podcast, because that's essentially what we are. If it looks like a duck, smells like a duck, and gives advice, it's a comedy advice podcast. Now, you will hear us referring to ourselves as hyperbole in the next couple of episodes, but that's because we recorded them well in advance, so apologies about that, but I think you'll get over it. That being said, we've also updated everything, so you can find us at Instagram, at a comedy advice podcast, Twitter, at a comedy podcast. You can find us at www.acomedyadvicepodcast.com. We've upgraded and changed it all, so you can find us all there. Should be a lot easier to remember, spell, pronounce, everything. You guys are also in for a very special treat this week. We have a special guest, Stan Chen. He is, when I first saw him perform, I thought, wow, that man is hilarious. I have to have him on my podcast. So we ended up doing that, and he is a delight. We did it remotely because, well, you know, Corona, but he was still just as funny through the phone, and I think you guys are going to enjoy him as well. If you guys want to support him, he doesn't have any shows going on right now because, you know, Corona, but if you guys want to support him, follow him on Instagram, on Facebook, and you can be on the lookout for when he's got new stuff. So he'll post it there. Follow him there. Support him. Give him a hello. Give him a hi. Give him a hug. A little heart emoji. Whatever that's not creepy that you can give, give it to him. Yeah, and then guess what? We've got a lot of guests lined up. We're camel humping a lot of these episodes because we're not sure. We're rationing. These episodes are like our toilet paper. We're trying to do one sheet at a time to wipe up. And yeah, we've got a lot of really special guests for you guys coming up. I'm spreading them out. Stop doing butt cheek metaphors. But yeah, it's going to be really fun. And we just deliver. That's what we do. When Corona hits, a comedy advice podcast hits harder. Yeah, and we can't stop, and we won't stop pumping out episodes. So please keep listening. You can't stop. And I don't know why I'm doing Tom DeLonge. And we won't stop. Oh, guys, can you tell that I've been quarantined for a month? And yeah, so anyway, we've got some more special guests. We also will be plugging some comedians and others that are doing some online stuff. And we have an upcoming special guest, spoiler alert, earmuffs if you don't want to hear, but we have Cam Sneed going on, and he's part of the online roasts. So if you want to follow on Instagram at Being Mean Is Funny, you can go there, and they're going to be doing online roasts where you get to vote for your favorite roaster. All right, and I think that's it. The only other thing is, if you guys haven't, please subscribe, leave a review, tell a friend about us. We love all the listeners we're getting. Thank you so much for keeping us warm and sterile with your love during this outbreak. So we appreciate it, and it keeps us going. So that's all. All right, here we go.
Hyperbole.
An advice podcast for Stefan
and friends
to make exaggerated statements not meant to be taken literally.
What was that, Stefan?
Hyperbole.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Hyperbole. My name is Stefan, and I'm your host. Joining me today is my co-host, Eric.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you, Eric?
I'm bunkered down and 75 feet below the ground. I hope I'm coming through all right.
Yeah, we are remote. This is social distancing at its finest. We also have a very special guest for you because we deliver no matter what. Corona isn't going to let us down. He is a comedian here in Phoenix. He started in his hometown of Seattle. He worked and performed all over the United States. He's awarded the Best of Fest Award at the 2019 Big Pine Comedy Festival in Flagstaff, Arizona. He's also the winner of the Funniest Comic of Indianapolis and New York City Comedy Festival. He's appeared on Last Comic Standing, The Bob and Tom Show, Last TV and CNN, and he's worked with Dave Attell, Melissa Villaseñor, and David Spade here in Arizona. And you're thinking, wow, you guys definitely don't deserve him as a guest, and you are right. His name is Stan Chen.
Hey, great to be with you guys, joining you in these end times. So, I'm just hanging out, trying to figure which team I want to play for in the stand. So, they both have their good ones.
Nice. Yeah, we really appreciate you joining us before everything ends. So, before it does, we wanted to ask you a couple questions too. How long have you been doing stand-up? What got you into it? And we'll start with those two because I have like 15 more, but don't want to overwhelm
you. Okay, yeah, that's great. I do remember the date. So I did start in Seattle, and it was at the Comedy Underground open mic, and it was Martin Luther King Day, January 20th, 1997. So it's been a while. We're kind of pushing it 23 years, which now it's kind of like gotten to the sad state because I know I've had many encounters where people – like come up to me after a set, which has probably gone well, and they'll say, "Oh wow, how long have you been doing comedy?" And when I say 1997, like I can kind of see the look on their face, like it's gone from, "Oh, that guy's a really good comic for someone starting out," to now it's a cautionary tale. So, it's been a while, and I've kind of mucked my way up to the feature position.
I mean, you could always lie and I don't think they'd tell the difference. You'd be like, "Oh, I started last week."
Yeah, right. It's been a few months. So, yeah, maybe I should just go with that. Just go with a whole new identity, you know. What got me into it is I just always been a fan of comedy and love stand up. And I think around that time, around 97, and if you guys remember, that was Chris Rock's first HBO special.
I was born in 98, but I did watch it.
No. Oh my god.
I'm totally kidding. No, I was born in 88, but yes, I did watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I thought that was awesome, and I had another friend who was doing stand up in Seattle, and I guess it was that kind of thing. Oh, you should try it, and I gave it a try, and I've been doing it kind of the whole time. But as I say, I have my other job. I'm a commercial pilot, so that eats up a lot of my time too. So
are you joking? I was gonna say you've got the perfect pilot voice.
Oh, are you serious? No, yeah, that's well, I actually don't fly people around. I fly freight, but
you gotta talk over the radio though, don't you?
I do. I gotta talk. Yeah, that's right. I do have to talk on the radio, but I don't have to make any passenger announcements, so that's a plus.
Not even
you can totally do it.
And you get all the practice in the world if you want to. You could talk to the crates and or freights and everything.
Yeah, that might give a bad impression to the guy I'm flying with. This guy's nuts.
I didn't think that quite through, but yeah, that's true.
I've always loved comedy, and it's fun to kind of get into the craft of it and actually doing it and seeing how it works and the mechanics of it and the more you do, you see how kind of a delicate thing it is and there's so many variables and it's always different every time, so I find all that stuff interesting.
That's really cool. And I was going to say to you, you and I met at the lounge here in Phoenix. We shared the stage and I saw you perform and you were incredible. The 23 years shows. It's very good. And then I was also going to say your spirit is not broken yet, which I feel a lot of broken spirits get into comedy. Either they start broken or they end up broken because the grind is just so tough. But you've been what seems like very successful. You've performed with a lot of really good comics. That's really cool. And I wanted to ask how you continue to do comedy without sounding negative and sounding as positive as an airline pilot.
That's a good question. Yeah, maybe I just, you know, since I don't depend on this for my income, and it is a hobby. So, if I feel like I'm doing it too much or I get burned out, I have other things I'm interested in. So maybe I'll step away from it for a while, and then something re-inspires me to get back into it. So, yeah. So I think maybe it's just something that, you know, I kind of maybe pace myself, and I go out and I do it when I'm, you know, when I'm motivated to do it, and it's not something I have to do. So maybe that's kind of the difference.
Okay.
You just do it because I like going out and I enjoy doing it. But yeah, you're right. I've run into other comics who have been on the road for many, many years, and I can see the fun has worn off, and it's just kind of a job for them. So. But moving out here, and I'll tell you, before this, moving out here from to Phoenix, I lived in Indianapolis, and coming out here, I think Phoenix is a great comedy town. There are so many clubs here. There's like 5 or 6 full-time clubs. There's so many open mics and bar shows, and I think the group of comedians out here are great. So that's actually kind of really motivated or reinvigorated doing comedy for me, is just coming out to Phoenix, which I think is a great comedy town. So yeah, so that's what you're seeing, is that I like doing comedy here in Arizona. I really do. It's a great town.
Aw, that's so nice to hear. So you're also shitting on Indianapolis, saying people really aren't that funny over there.
maybe a little bit. I don't know. I've been in a lot of different comedy cities. You know, I started in Seattle, which I loved. And as I moved to Indianapolis, and yeah, there's all these politics about the clubs, working the clubs there and things. And, you know, like when I first kind of moved out here or moved to Indianapolis, there was kind of like this really, this clique of comedians who like coveted their their MC hosting gigs. And, you know, it was kind of hard to break in. So maybe that's just, you're hearing some of the battle wounds or scars from that. But you know, coming out here, it's just like everybody I've run into, I think, is cool and very accepting. And you know, I don't necessarily feel any sort of rivalries or people trying to shut you out of stuff. So yeah, I love it here. I really do, and I'm very sincere when I say that.
That's awesome, because I think about 50% of our listeners are also from Phoenix. The other 50 are from Indianapolis, coincidentally. But,
right. Oh. Well, I've just blacklisted myself. All right. I'll accept that.
Very polarizing crowd here. But anyway, Stan, it is awesome to have you on. I think we're ready to get into the self-help portion of the podcast. So
sounds great. Yeah.
Let's dive in. We like to get started with a quote, an inspirational quote to help fuel us through the rest of the podcast. And so before we get started on it, we want to ask, and we usually ask our guests, do you have any inspirational quotes that help get you through your days?
My favorite quote, that you ask it, it was Theodore Roosevelt. I don't know if a past president.
But he had this, I was born in 98, so I'm not familiar, but...
Okay. Basically, the gist of the quote, he's talking about the man in the arena. It doesn't matter. You know, you may try and fail at many things, but it doesn't matter. And other people might have opinions of you, but it's the person who's trying to do things or attempt things that matter. It's not the person, like, bringing you down. I always thought that's a great quote. I can maybe look it up for you guys, but yeah, I love that quote.
Nice.
But go ahead.
No, that's a great quote. It's funny, I like asking our guests before we get started in it, because there are actually so many good quotes that people have, and it makes me realize how many good quotes I don't have in my life. So I try and write them down so that it helps me out. Because, you know, when you wake up, you just get a little cranky and you need a good quote to help fuel you on your day. So that's good.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to read a quote, and this is not by President Theodore Roosevelt. This is by a robot called Inspirobot. And what it does is it uses AI to take some of the most motivational words and just jam them together, whether they fit or not, for the most inspirational quote it can create. So Eric, would you like to read this week's quote from InspiroBot?
This week's quote: ask not what you can do for your boyfriend. Ask what your boyfriend can do for the network of international bankers. Fucked it up.
I like international banquets better, but also I feel like we have a presidential theme going here because we've got a little JFK at the start.
Right. That's what I recognize. The
ask not what you can do for your boyfriend. Ask what your boyfriend can do for the network of international bankers.
Yeah, and I like, the Roomba put the boyfriend in there. That I like that. What you can do for a network of international bankers. And I think that maybe that speaks to now corporations are people now. Isn't that right in the Supreme Court rule on that or something?
Citizens United.
Right. Oh, so, they're people. So what your boyfriend could do is pick up everybody from Chase Manhattan at the airport and help them move, right? That's what a boyfriend would, that's what a good boyfriend would do for, Chase Manhattan.
I feel like that's really good.
I hear the airlines are hurting right now too, so a flight would
more flat. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, that's really nice. Yeah. I mean, even help the office move, because since the corporation is a person now, if the office needs to move from New York to Texas, see what you can do to help. Pitch in where you can. Yeah. Eric, what about
out there? Sure.
Eric, what about you? What does this quote scream to you?
It's got kind of like a twinge of human trafficking to it, it feels like. I don't know.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Does that inspire you?
It is not inspirational. It's a dark corner of comedy and life.
Yeah. Who asks what they can do for their boyfriend? I don't think I usually ask that. I usually ask, what can my boyfriend or girlfriend do for me? Well, I'm married now, so I don't ask that out loud, but
someone who's not selfish, Stefan.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. Somebody that's not completely narcissistic and egotistical. Perfect. Okay. Got it. Anything else about this quote before we move on?
Oh, yeah, I like it. It's a good quote. You bring the boyfriend factor in there, and boyfriends can never do enough. So hopefully they the boyfriend does enough, and they get at least a courtesy hand job from the international bankers, I guess. So.
It's the least they can do.
That's the least they can do. That's right.
Yeah.
Also, the photo that accompanies a quote this time is it appears to be a girl stranded on the top of a mountain.
Oh, you think she's stranded?
What can her boyfriend do for her?
Yeah, I don't know. Send the rescue team to get her off that summit, I guess. So.
Yeah, maybe I think the international bankers might have a really good rescue team that they could send up there if the boyfriend does something nice for them. So it all.
Yeah, there's dozens of corpses on Everest that have not, I guess the boyfriends haven't been good enough to rescue them.
How many of those were just rich international bankers who wanted to climb Everest and couldn't make it?
Oh no.
Up or down.
You keep going and then it's girlfriend and then a couple steps forward boyfriend and then a couple steps forward international bankers. It's just a frozen cycle. Oh god.
I mean, you can pay a Sherpa to haul you all the way up. Actually, I read that they shut Everest down because of the coronavirus, and I was like, That seems a little drastic, but I get it.
Yeah.
Like, how do you shut down the world's largest mountain?
I get it. There's all those octogenarian mountain climbers that might be affected. So,
I would tell you what. I would be pissed if I went to climb Everest and the reason I died was coronavirus. So I
know, right?
So I get it. I get it. All right, guys.
You'd rather be like smashed by a giant falling chunk of ice or something. Oh, something cool.
Oh, absolutely. Freeze to death. Anything. Run over by a Sherpa.
You'd want to be one of those frozen corpses that they can't remove and they just end up using you as a waypoint along the map.
Immortalized as a waypoint. Rather that than coronavirus victim. So.
Very good. Very good. Duly noted.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. I feel like we're pumped with that sweet wisdom from that quote. So we're going to move on to the main part of the podcast. And this part is called the beef. And it's the meaty part of the podcast where we've got questions sent in from fans. We've got celeb advice. We've got business advice. Everything a self-help podcast should contain. So we're going to get into the first question. This is found by our fan, John. Thank you, John. It's from Reddit. And this person says, filling my house with dinosaurs to annoy my housemate. So I've been putting dinosaurs around my house to see if my housemate will notice. So far, she's noticed a few, but I really want to step up my game. The bigger and weirder, the better. Please give me weird and wonderful ideas. Sincerely, Yabba Dabba Roommate.
Oh my God.
When was the last time you guys have had a housemate? Stan?
It's been a long... I've been married 27 years. I don't know if my wife counts as a roommate. She kind of,
it's a calculation,
yeah.
I was just doing.
Yeah. Have you ever performed pranks on your wife, like hidden dinosaurs for her to find?
Not dinosaurs. I remember one time used to live in San Diego, so Tijuana was right across the border. But I don't know, on one drunken night, I bought one of these plaster skulls. More specifically, plaster skull with a Nazi helmet on top. It was. So I do remember one night I slipped out of bed and put the skull on my pillow, and I do remember my wife reaching over to, I don't know, cuddle me, and her shrieks of horror.
My God.
That was good.
Nobody ever expects the Nazi skull.
Nobody ever expects the Nazi skull, exactly.
Maybe Indiana Jones, but other than that, nobody else.
Yeah.
But
is this person just wants to screw with her? He's not doing this for her. She doesn't like dinosaurs. Is she a fan of dinosaurs? Does she have Asperger's on some level that she likes dinosaurs? I don't know.
I'm not sure. Maybe he's just doing it for the international bankers. It could be of their interest.
Yeah.
But I think maybe he's just doing it to mess with her.
So he's dinosaurs, and he wants to up his game.
Exactly. So I think he wants to go bigger. You could go the route of skulls. Is there an archaeological dig site that's near to you that maybe you could pull up a dinosaur skull and put it on her pillow?
Yeah. Maybe you can make a trip down to Tijuana, get the tacky Tijuana art, the plaster frog with the sombrero, and
yes.
leave that along around the house. She definitely couldn't miss that.
You can get anything in TJ.
Eric, what about you? What's the last prank you've performed on your wife or housemate?
Well, actually, this is reminding me more about something that we did in my house growing up. We had a life-sized little maybe 6-inch lizard, and we would just hide it around the house for either my mom or my dad to open a drawer, and mostly my mom to open a drawer and hopefully freak her out. So we were quite little shits then, but we would probably I would probably still do it now if I knew where. I think we called it Lizzie.
Nice.
I will say, I remember once when my friends house-sitted for me, they ended up changing all of the pictures in my house to pictures where they changed the face of my wife to them. So.
So this guy should Photoshop. That's what he needs. He should start replacing photos, but make it a dinosaur instead of the roommate's mother or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, that's what you got to do. Yeah, it's change all the pictures in the house. That's great. That's a great idea.
Because how many times, sometimes you'll just walk past you'll have a photo in your house and you love it and it's up, but it's been up there for years and maybe you don't look at it as closely as you should. So someone could come in and just swap that stuff out. And if it's close enough and not too eye-catching of a difference, you could probably get away for weeks, months before someone could notice.
That's true.
Great idea.
Making it realistic as possible. So instead of a real looking dinosaur, you could have it like the anthropomorphic dinosaurs from, wasn't that show called Dinosaurs with the baby, where it's like, everybody
Yeah. Or do you remember the live action Super Mario movie? There were anthropomorphic dinosaurs, Goombas.
Yeah, it was the guy who was in Roger Rabbit was like one of the Mario or Luigi or something. I remember that.
It's a bonkers movie.
All I remember is the Goombas, didn't they have very small heads and gigantic bodies?
There were some guys like that.
Oh, okay. Oh, man.
And then, like, Yoshi was an actual raptor or something. It was weird.
Oh, yeah. All right. Any other advice before we move on to the next segment?
Best of luck to him. I don't know if he's like trying to move the roommate thing to the next level, but maybe do something sweet. I don't know where he's headed with this. You know, does he just want to mess with her, or does he want to make this roommate into a boyfriend girlfriend situation? I don't know.
Oh, he wants it to evolve. Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
It's either
gonna evolve or go extinct.
In that case, I would probably put really scary dinosaurs in her bed so that she freaks out and then needs somebody to hold her. So you could do that.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Scarier dinosaurs and a couple Nazi skulls, and you'll be in there.
Or the scariest Nazi dinosaurs. That's the ultimate.
Nazi dinosaurs. Exactly. Exactly. Or this thing might be the meteorite that totally extincts the whole relationship.
All right, that's perfect. I feel like we gave a lot of advice to Yabba Dabba roommate. So we'll move on to the next segment. This is celeb advice. Celebs may seem like near perfect examples of human beings, and they are. But they get in a pickle sometimes too, which is why we dedicate a segment of our show to give them even more attention. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to read an article from Entertainment Weekly about a celeb and a dilemma, or what advice we can give to them, Stan. But before we get into that, we usually ask our guests at this point if they can do a celebrity impression. So are there any celebrity impressions you can do?
I think the last time I did impressions was like when I was in seventh grade, so we're talking 70s. So any like celebrity impressions I did then are totally irrelevant. It's like, Howard Cosell is like, I think that was the last one I did, Muhammad Ali, blah, blah, blah. But, and that's the sad thing about impressions is like, that they only have such a short shelf life. Last weekend, I opened for Kevin Pollak, who's an amazing impressionist, but like he's really good. But the impressions he was doing is like he was doing Johnny Carson and Columbo.
Oh my gosh.
I'm totally serious. He's doing like Columbo. Like, it might go over the heads of the millennial crowd. But he does a great Christopher Walken. I think it was the best I'd ever seen. But I think that's hard for impressionists is that, you do a great impression, but if this person kind of falls out of favor or, time passes them by, it's like, I have this great impression, but nowhere to use it. Yeah, like Frank Caliendo did a guest set, and he does a great George Bush, but, it's like, who wants to hear George Bush impressions anymore?
Right.
Oh, man, that's crazy. So, actually, this might be timely, though, if it's around the 70s. Can you do a Dolly Parton impression?
Yes, here I come again. That 9 to 5. I love Dolly Parton. She's great. I love her spirit. Beautiful lady.
That's an amazing segue because we're going to read this article and I'm going to have Eric read it. Now, it does involve Dolly Parton. So if you want to try to do a Dolly Parton impression, if you don't, I will try and I will hack it. But, wanted to give it to you first.
I think you should do it, Stefan.
Okay.
I'm looking. Go for it.
Okay, I don't even know how. All right, I'm diving into it. I'm committing. All right.
Dolly Parton wants to pose again for Playboy's 75th for her 75th birthday. Quote, boobs are still the same. Age is just a number, especially if you're Dolly Parton. The country icon turned 74 in January, and she'd love to pose for Playboy again for her next birthday.
I don't plan to retire. I just turned 74, and I plan to be on the cover of Playboy magazine again.
She told 60 Minutes Australia.
See, I did Playboy magazine years ago, and I thought it'd be such a hoot if they'll go for it.
Parton's first appeared on the magazine's October 1978 cover wearing a strapless top and bunny ears when she was 32. When asked if she'd wear the same outfit on the new cover, Parton joked,
"Maybe. Boobs are still the same. I've had all the nips and tucks I can have. I look kind of cartoonish, and cartoons don't really age that much."
The star has always been open about her looks, and even once famously quipped,
"It costs a lot to look this cheap."
Wow, that's awesome. I'm fully erect. And Eric, you have a great career if you want to be like a 1975 AM radio DJ.
I know, right? Stefan, your Dolly Parton sounded elderly, which I guess for 75 is about right. But it also sounded like the pervert from Family Guy.
Because I thought I was sounding like somebody, but it wasn't Dolly Parton. So I was like,
she sounds a lot tinier than that, doesn't she?
Yeah. Maybe boobs are still the same.
We should reread that with it explicitly being that.
Oh, God.
Or maybe not.
Oh, no.
It looks a lot to cause this.
Hey, Chris.
Oh, God.
All right, so I got some bad news for Dolly Parton. Probably sometime after this interview was done, as of today, Playboy magazine is closing down.
What?
I'm reading that in the newspaper today.
Oh, no. Oh, wow. Because of coronavirus?
Because of Dolly Parton. They didn't want to do the second shoot for her 75th.
They're like, let's get ahead of this before she asks. For real.
Playboy's had some rough years. Didn't they, for a while, they went away from the whole centerfold format and kind of went back to it, and I don't know if it went to just online, but yeah, it's sad to see the decline of Playboy. I mean, that's, you know, I remember in its heyday. I mean, I for one would love to see a naked Dolly Parton. I don't know about you guys, but
I the 32-year version or the 75-year version?
Yeah, let's bring it on. Bring on the 75-year version. I'll watch it. Also, yeah, I love to see Dolly that old.
You know, I do have to say I would be curious, if nothing else, to just see what that would look like. And I mean, it's like a really old car with some new parts. So I feel like...
Oh, my God.
Yes, right.
So it seems like new parts, but they didn't get...
I put a spoiler on my Oldsmobile.
and they didn't quite get painted the exact same color, so they don't look like they quite fit, but it would be interesting to see, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, I'm jaded to the whole nudity thing. You know, I've seen so many Pornhub clips. You know, grandma makes grandson earn $5 the hard way for his birthday. So.
You know, you don't have to watch those.
Oh, that is not a requirement. Okay.
It's a palate cleanser in between other wanks. But...
Yeah, that's
oh, not no.
Exactly. It's like the sorbet of Pornhub. Exactly.
Oh, man. I mean, but it's 75 or 74. She's so spry. Do you think there's anything else that Dolly Parton could do now that she did back when she was 32 that other 74-year-olds might not be able to do? If she's like, oh, I'll go on Playboy, maybe she could I mean, what else did she do? She just kind of sang, played music, and went under the knife, right?
Yeah.
She was in movies and stuff.
Movies. But yeah, I really do like Dolly Parton. She's got a great spirit. I love her singing. Wrote some great songs. So yeah, all
she
the
gives
more
a lot
power.
Away. She gives away a lot of free books to kids, I hear.
That is true. Yeah, started Dollywood and all that. So.
This just in. I'm reading online that now that Dolly Parton got the news that Playboy will be shutting down due to her second shoot, she has passed away in stress.
In memoriam. Okay.
I love how committed you are to this bit, Eric. I feel like this continues to unfold.
Oh my god, I'm reporting live.
From the 1970s, say? Oh, that's actually 40s.
From the 1970s.
That sounds like the 40s now.
Yeah.
sound like the Hindenburg's going down.
Oh, the humanity.
Fortunately, Dolly Parton wasn't in there, she? But we'll keep you updated.
Well, a little bit like John Mulaney. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I wish I could do a John Mulaney. I will work on that.
He sounds like a 1940s gangster. That's like, delivery.
He does. It's kind of, and the thing about airplane food is, okay, all right, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll work on it. I'll workshop it. All right, so I think it's pretty unanimous. Dolly Parton should do it. She should just get naked and be on Playboy.
Yeah, absolutely. All for it.
I mean, if she wants to, if Playboy says no, maybe she could do that grandma porn that we've all seen on
Pornhub.
All right. And moving on. Word of the week. We have a word of the week because we classify ourselves as an edutainment podcast in Apple Podcasts, so we need to teach you at least one thing. Now, the word this week is aspic, and it is a meat jelly in which pieces of meat, poultry, egg, etc. are set to be served as savories. And it sounds a lot like ass pick, but it's all one word,
yes.
A-S-P-I-C. That's it. Moving
what, like
on.
Haggis? What is it?
I guess.
I Googled some pictures of it. Have you guys seen, took a look at some pictures? I mean, it really does look disgusting. It's like bits of meat in a gelatin mold.
It says people also search for head cheese.
It also looks like what I would imagine Dolly Parton's derriere would look like.
Oh. Bringing it back. Okay. Have you guys been to the, like you go to the meat section, like the bologna, and you know they have the salami, but there they do have like that one, it looks like all like jumbles of meat in this like kind of clear gelatin stuff, and they serve that. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, no. Definitely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it maybe it's good because, you know, like sometimes the worse a food looks, it's like pretty good. You know, it's like, hey, that, you know, it's got to be good to look that bad, if that makes any sense.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you ever look at like some of your favorite dishes, but kind of try to take a step back and be like, what would I think if I was just in like a completely different country, a foreign country, and someone served this to me? Would I think it looked bad, and would I not taste it? You know, I always think about that, because exactly what you said, sometimes something that looks so off-putting can be absolutely delicious, and if you're going to judge a book by its cover, so to speak, you might be missing out.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Like my relatives in Italy, they think peanut butter is absolutely disgusting. They don't like it. Maybe not from the looks. Maybe from the looks. Especially the chunky peanut butter. They don't like that.
Oh, no. I agree about that.
Do you think? I guess peanut butter was invented in the United States, but so it just has it not made it, you know, internationally? So it's more of an American thing?
I think it is, because I'm not. Yeah, I'm not Mr. Worldwide like Pitbull, but Italy I do know pretty well, and they are not fans of peanut butter. It's just strange.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
interesting.
I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah.
I don't know if they have a lot of peanuts though either, because my wife being from Brazil, they have a lot of peanuts, so they have a lot of peanut products, and they have some really good peanut candies too, which is, they have this one that's like the inside of a Reese's. It's just delicious. But anyway, Europe, I think not, because Italy, they're very chestnut heavy, and hazelnut heavy. So they've got a lot of that Nutella and the Ferrero Rochers and that type of stuff. And I don't know, maybe their palate has developed to where peanuts just taste yucky. Mm. Like acid.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We need to send them a Reese's. Blow their minds.
You know what? Yeah, I did send them Skittles because they didn't have those and they loved Skittles.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Were they the new Skittles where the green ones are green apple, or the old Skittles where the green ones were still lime?
I'll get back to you on that one because I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't know when the crossover was. By the way, speaking of Skittles, my wife and I tried yogurt covered Skittles, and they're actually pretty good.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think that's just a lesson learned here. You know, don't judge a book by its cover. You know, get in there, try that bat soup. You know, and if you didn't do that, we wouldn't be where we are right now. So.
Yeah. I'm perfect. Gonna rush out and try some bat soup ASAP.
Where would you be able to? Oh, never mind. I don't care.
I know a guy from Wuhan.
Yeah, exactly. There's a market in Wuhan that serves it up. So.
Oh, nice. All right, guys, we're going to move on to the next segment, which is BizWizzes. So we want to help business owners, and we've created a segment called BizWizzes where we take a one-star review that whizzes on these bizzes and give advice to the biz on how to clean that whiz. So we read one-star reviews and then comment on them. This week, Home Depot gets one-star reviews. Eric, would you like to read one of these one-star reviews for us, please?
Rich S. is mad as humanly possible in his one-star. I am a pro member and only one register with a human. All others are self-checkout. Humans are still needed. One star.
Man, so this guy's really...
I think you nailed that one. Yeah. I think this guy... You know, he wants the human checkout guy, so I think he's just an old fart who doesn't know how to, you know, the new technology of self-scanning. That's my read on that.
How do you complain and ask for the manager to the self-checkout machine? You can't.
Yes, exactly. And in defense of Home Depot's home checkout, it's pretty awesome. They got like the little hand scanner, and yeah, it works great.
All of them should do that.
Right. I mean, I love it. And it's not like the bullshit when you go into the supermarket where, like, you have to, like, put the item into the bag and it, like, somehow weighs it to make sure you've, you know, put it in the bag. And if it doesn't, like, it, like, goes into this big error thing. You have to bring the checkout supervisor comes over and has to, like, tap in her number to clear up the machine. Like, Home Depot has it down. Like, you just, like, zap everything with the checkout thing and... You're in and out like Flint. So, you know, this guy's an asshole. That's all I got to say. Technology. That's what I want to say. No, it's on him. It's on him.
All right, perfect. All right, moving on to the next one. James wants to be heard in his one star.
Why would you have people who can't hear? You literally have a deaf lady at Pro Services. That doesn't make sense.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what I have to say about that. I feel like it would just fall on deaf ears. So, moving on. Stan, would you like to read our next review?
Okay. Well, let me see. All right. All right. It says, George thinks love should wait in his one star. Oh, love should wait. Bert should spend less time flirting with a woman his age. I know... about his trip to Paris in painful detail because he spent 20 minutes talking to her instead of helping the customers that were waiting. I walked out and went to Lowe's. So I guess Bert was spending a little bit too much time flirting up a customer. I guess that's what happened. George got pissed and walked out. So
put his money where his mouth is.
Went over to Lowe's, and maybe all the customer service people were copulating with the customer. So how, where do you go then? Do you go to Ace? I don't know.
yeah, good point. Maybe just buy online, because robots don't flirt with people. Again, all hail robots. They make quotes for us. We got good self-checkouts, and they don't flirt. So, well, actually, some of them do, but they're programmed to. So I don't think, unless they get a mix-up and online there's an accidental sex robot on Amazon or HomeDepot.com, I think you're good. You can get what you want and go.
I mean, I kind of agree with that. Like, you know, I understand being nice, but yeah, I've been in the, you know, back of the line, and yeah, they have some conversation that they're striking up. It's like, come on, move it. Let's move it along. So, all right, I have a little bit of sympathy for George. I understand that.
I was just going to say, I get that, but I also feel a little sympathy for Bert, because I've been in that position where I've been working at Starbucks and I'm getting my flirt on. And then the guys are waiting impatiently behind them. And I'm like, just let me have this. You don't know what my life is like.
Oh my God.
I still live with my mom. I barely get human interaction outside of this. Just let me have this one. And so yeah, maybe you should up that to 2 stars at least.
Okay. Fair enough. I think we found middle ground on that one.
Bert's just trying to move out for Ernie.
Yeah. All right. So, Eric, you read the last one.
Joe gives his 2 cents and his 1 star. I went to this store and tried to pay with cash. They did not accept it. Credit only, the guy said. I dropped my stuff on the register and went to Lowe's. Are they even allowed to not accept cash?
Oh my God, this just seems like such a melodramatic thing to do. He's holding all his stuff, and then he's like, can I have cash? And he says, no, credit only. And he just drops it on the floor and just runs to Lowe's.
Yeah, and I think it's another one of these old farts who will not accept the new technologies. Like, get on board, you know, get on board with the Apple Pay and you know, using your chip credit card. It's like, all right. You know, nobody wants your piggy bank full of change. So get with the times. That's all I got to say.
I know. It sounds like old people just need to get used to new things. I mean, even this new virus, they're just like, oh, my immune system can't handle it.
It makes sense. He just has to deal with it. We're living in an age where you got to be able to be cashless. I mean, I'm often without cash.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so... And why does he think things are better over at Lowe's? So, you know, get with the times.
I know.
Maybe go to Ace Hardware. I guess that's where you get human people at the register and they accept, you know, legal tender. So
this podcast is actually sponsored by Ace Hardware. They nail it every time.
Oh, damn it. Well, that's where all roads lead to Ace Hardware. Very good. I like it.
That should be their motto. All right. Anything else? Any other advice for Home Depot?
No, I think the Home Depot people are killing it. I love it there. So,
wow.
Keep doing
okay.
What you're doing, Home Depot, with your fluorescent orange vests and whatnot. So,
I thought you were a fan of Ace Hardware all this time.
Oh yeah, just keep promoting the Ace Hardware. No. I think they're up to date. I love their self checkout. So, yeah. All the more power to Home Depot.
Are you a big handyman, Stan?
No, totally horrible at it. But I have, you know, I once in a while I have a home improvement project. I have to go there and do stuff. So yeah, I go in once in a while. But yeah, actually, I go to Home Depot and Lowe's, and I got to say, I kind of like the way Home Depot's set up. So,
ooh.
A little partial to Home Depot. That's what I got to say.
And anytime you can successfully do a home project yourself, you'd feel like a total badass, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You're like, oh, I could do anything. I could do anything. Let me at the electricity. Come on.
Oh yeah, exactly. Well, exactly, because like you know, like whatever home project it is, it's not necessarily that it takes a lot of brains, but it takes experience to do it. So you're just paying somebody who has that experience to fix it, you know, and they usually, like, when they charge you stuff, I think they usually charge you just below the amount that I go, are you motherfucking crazy? It's that amount, that amount, just right below me screaming, "Are you motherfucking crazy?" And then I go, "Oh, okay, go ahead and fix it, because I don't know how to. But I, you know, I don't have that experience."
Oh, yeah. Good. All right, guys. Well, that was great advice. We've arrived at the end of the podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. Stan, thank you so much for joining and helping us with your homemade advice. This was beautiful, and we really enjoyed having you.
Oh, well, hey, thanks for having me on. It was a lot of fun during the lockdown, and hope to see you guys next month. You know, maybe we can get together and throw corpses on burning piles of, you know, human flesh and, you know, get together. Something to do it face to face.
Oh, that would be awesome. I know, it's so terrible doing that stuff. Real over bonding Facebook experience. Messenger. Yeah. Now, Stan, can you tell our audience where you can be found, if you have any shows coming up after the corpse burning, anything else that you want to plug and promote?
I am back at Square One. I had a few shows that kind of get canceled. They got to be rescheduled. But look for me on Facebook or Stan Chen Comedy on Instagram. I post all my upcoming shows, which as of right now, I do not have any, unfortunately.
Oh, man. Well, you heard, guys. Support Stan. Go follow him on Instagram, Facebook, and make sure that when he does have shows coming up that you are following so you can stay abreast of everything that's going on, and go support him. He is hilarious. Take it from me. I know a lot of things. So, Eric, do you have anything going on that you want to promote?
For now, you can find me 75 feet down below the ground in my bunker, and we'll be broadcasting until the zombies come. So.
Oh, man. Awesome. Well, good. Guys, I hope you're enjoying Coronapalooza. Thank you for listening. If you guys have not yet, please subscribe, tell a friend, leave a review. We will read it. It doesn't even have to be a good one. Please just make it 5 stars. And don't say you're going to go to Lowe's. So that really hurts our feelings. But other than that, anything goes. And other than that, thank you so much. We love you guys. We'll talk at you next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye,
hyperbole.
Guys.
Hyperbole.